Good evening, everyone. Oh, somebody had a really good evening. I don't know who it was, though. Oh, that guy. Good. Good to see everyone. How are we all doing? We're a week away from Christmas. We're a week away from Christmas. Okay, that was a little better. Good, good. Good to gather together and dig into the Word of God. And particularly as we prepare for where we'll be next week at this time, good to kind of slow down and prayerfully calibrate our hearts, souls, and minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time to gather. Lord, we thank you that you first loved us. Lord, thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering. Who you are, Lord, we just give thanksgiving. And Lord, in awe, we meditate and ponder on the birth of our King, God veiled in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time that we can come together, that we can open your word, and we can feast. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that you prepare their heart, mind, and soul for your word. Prepare us for the manna. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us each without distractions, without anything, but Father, teach me to hear. And Lord, that through the empowerment of your Spirit who dwells within us, that we would obey. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So we tonight are taking a little pausa from Psalms, and we'll continue our journey. We're in a part of Psalms right now where we're really going to be digging through enemies and how we handle that and how we go towards that. But we're going to take a little pausa, and the title of tonight's message is As Christmas Approaches. As Christmas Approaches. And one of the questions at the start of this that I just ask us to think about is, how are you preparing your heart for Christmas? Because I think we can get in routines pretty easily, but how are you taking time? We've got a week before we gather with friends and family, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. How are you preparing your heart to celebrate this time? How are you preparing your heart to remember the birth of our King? Now, the Lord clearly has us as a body in an interesting place because, again, where we are in John, it's quite interesting to be looking at the crucifixion as we're celebrating the birth because we know he was born to die. But as we keep moving forward, I want to encourage us and challenge us to do a little check-in on how are we at this time of year on the material versus the eternal. How are we doing there? How are we doing at this time of the year on the calendar of events versus prayer and awe? And taking that time to just pause. And so as Christmas approaches, this is an opportunity to encourage us to anchor in its reality. So I have a little poem I want to start this with. Somebody in the body had shared this a few months ago, but it's very interesting, and it's a tale we know and many of us have heard and read, but it's going to have a little different twist. "'Twas the night before Christmas." Many of us remember that one. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the church, the chosen were singing about his son's birth. The Bibles were opened to Matthew that night, and praises were sung to a heavenly height. The pastor spoke boldly the word we all love, about our sweet Jesus who came from above. He spoke of salvation to those who were lost, for whom Christ had died for upon Calvary's cross. He knew through the years we'd been bound up by sin, but we could be free if we just let him in. So open your hearts, all you people who know, and let Jesus make your soul white as snow. Heed the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John about his great work that they've carried on. The epistles of Paul will show you the way. Revelation tells of the glorious day. At the sound of the trump and the twink of an eye, we'll be caught up with Jesus to a cloud in the sky. We'll sit down with Jesus to a wonderful feast, then come back with him to bind up the beast. There'll be no dying, no sickness, no tears. We'll reign in his glory for 1,000 years. And after these things, a new heaven and earth, and all because of our dear Savior's birth. So follow me, children, we hear Jesus say, that he is the truth, the life, and the way. So it's an interesting little tale that we look at, and as we think about Christmas coming, and as we think about getting ready, there's scriptures we're going to walk through and kind of journey through history, but really his story, and thinking and challenging ourselves, how am I, Lord, with you, prayerfully preparing for this time of year? Because I think we can sometimes forget the reason for the season, it's Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not Santa. And when we think about that, I like to sometimes juxtapose those two. If we think about Psalm 139, when we think of our Lord, if we turn there, we're going to be in different passages tonight as we go through this journey of thinking about Christmas coming, preparing our hearts for this celebration, and how we get there. We read in Psalm 139, a Psalm of David, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar. We're talking there and we're seeing there our King, our God of creation knows everything about us. He knows what we're doing, when we're doing it, how we're doing it. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. We know there's nothing we can hide from the Lord God Almighty. He knows every single detail of everything that we're doing, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows what we're going to say. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what's in our heart. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. It's interesting when we look at this psalm because it describes the God of creation. He knows every single thing. He sees everything. He sees us when we're sleeping. He sees us when we're awake. He knows when we've been bad or good. And then we think of how we think about Santa. And what I just said is quoting a song about him. And it's so interesting. And I just highlight that for us to think again, how are we preparing ourselves? Because Jesus is the reason. And we want the next generation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we build them to believe in one Santa who knows everything, who can be everywhere at one place in one night, who knows when you're good, who knows when you're bad, who's making a list of the people that are good and the people that aren't going to be good. And then they find out he's not real. And now you're going to say this God who has all these same attributes, you want me to even think about reading the Bible? No way! Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's keep Jesus at the center. I remember growing up, there was a person who would dress up as Santa and would come to the neighborhood. And I remember he came to the house once, and some of you met my mother when she visited, and she was quite entertaining with us. She said, "Listen to me, I'm telling you something. There's no Santa. We the one who gets you present. You pray that I think you're doing okay. Pray to God." And I was like, "Okay, got it, Mom. Thank you." But I look back at some of those Haitian mom moments with gratitude, where it was pointing to God. Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the only all-knowing one. He's the only omniscient and omnipotent all-being God. So let's keep it there. And so, thinking of Jesus as the reason for the season, let's remind ourselves of the story of our King. So if we go to Genesis, and we start in the very beginning, at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So at the very, very beginning, we start with the reminder of everything that is there. Everything that we see when we go out, when we look at the stars, when we see the beautiful trees, the sky, all of it. The Lord God Almighty made it all. Every single bit of it. And that should drive us to awe. That should drive us to wonder. And as we've studied John, we know Jesus is present before the foundations of the earth. He's pre-existent. And if we go on to verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, the triune God present in creation. Creation is where it all begins. And there's a design for us within that beautiful model of creation. If we go to the end of chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creep on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth." Creation and an order set. An order that's attacked, and we could have a whole conversation just on that, but we're going to focus on the order he's given. Man, woman, dominion, create and multiply. And then we know from our time that we've spent as we've studied through the Psalms in Isaiah 14 what takes place with the fall of Lucifer. And we see the enemy about in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" The God of creation creates, has an order, and the order is challenged. Is that what God really said? Is that what God really means? And that we see is something timeless that continues throughout time. And we know what takes place here, the fall of man. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, all go. I'm going to take that fruit. I'm going to eat whatever that fruit is. And the fall takes place. And when the fall takes place, we see our King's desire to intercede. Verse 21. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Because we know when the fall takes place, what do they realize? Ha, we're both naked. What's going on? This isn't good. We've got to hide from God. Then God shows up. What are we going to do? Blame game time. It's the man you gave me. It's the woman you gave me. It's this. And the Lord God has to deal with it. But we see the moment sin comes in, the God who loves his creation desires to cover it.
from the beginning.
But with that, there's the struggle that's timeless. Am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? Am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? So time goes on and we get to Genesis chapter 6. And we read there, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Now, there's a lot there that we would have to go into to look at this. And if you go to some of the earlier Psalms, there's a dive that we did do on that, so I encourage you to go back and listen to do the dive there. There's also a great teaching that Pastor David had done when he went through the book of Genesis with us to go back there. Our focus isn't on that this evening, but then we see verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." He's made this creation. There's this fallen creation he tries to cover, and then it says, okay, let's see how they're going to do, because the God who loves something that people struggle to realize is he loves so much that he gives free will. He's not going to force love and obedience. That's what we do in worship. That's what we do when we come to know him, when we come to live with him. So there's only evil. "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And now begins that moment of seeing the wheels turning towards what will come with the Savior's birth: grace. Noah didn't do anything that made God say, look at how special. He didn't have a special banner. I'm your special one. Look at this. He found grace, a gift, undeserved. And we see in that God's desire to preserve, God's desire to try to rescue. And he goes on to then lay out the plans. This is the ark that you need to build. This is how you're going to do it. And notice how Noah handled it. "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did." A picture of grace, grace received, and obedience. Grace received, and then obedience. Now the flood takes place, and then everything's perfect. No. Man continues with the struggle of disobedience. We get to Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, which would make sense if we think about man coming from the line and Adam. There's going to be that one language, one speech. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Now what's interesting is we see disobedience taking place here, because if we remind ourselves what the Lord said in Genesis 9:1, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth and all that on the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." He gives the order, but he makes clear, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. But they say, let's stay here. Let's build this. Let's get up to this tower. And we don't want to be spread all over. Let's do this. Let's control. Let's disobey. Because the nature, the sin nature that comes in from the fall is still there. There's not that once for all means of deliverance yet. But the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us, triune God, go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So in the flood, we see grace, and in the tower, we see mercy. This is a moment of mercy from the Lord God Almighty. This is a moment of mercy. So scatter them about. Let's divide the languages. And then he would go on to lead to Abraham. And Genesis 12, three verses we've looked at often as a body, three verses that remind us why we pray for Israel and continue to pray for Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for salvation for the Jewish people. Because we see here a promise. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through one alone, Yeshua, Jesus, the Savior, the King of Kings. A promise that we see fulfilled. And when we have our Christmas Eve service, we'll look at that passage where we're going to see a short-term prophecy and a long-term prophecy taking place in the passage that we're going to be in Isaiah. But we see that Mary gets foretold about the birth of the King of the world. And we could go through, and what's so beautiful with the whole Word of God, there's so many places we could go and passages in the Old Testament that point to the birth of our King, that point to his death, to the kingdoms to come, that should have our hearts being focused in this season as Christmas approaches on that. Because when we think of the Savior's birth, I think it's important for us to think the whole story. Because the Savior's birth is the story of God's love for his creation. The Savior's birth is a story of the Lord's ultimate grace and mercy bestowed upon us. And that's something that we should be meditating on, we should be pondering, we should be praying on as we're in this season where, for many of us, the next few days, as you think about it and kind of start to be like, oh, there's so much going on. And it's good, and it's exciting, and we should enjoy it. We've got the choir concert, we've got Band of Brothers, you got your family things going on, we're going to have the Christmas Eve service, you're going to have your own Christmas gatherings, and it's all beautiful, and it's exciting. Because the reason we get to do it is because we're celebrating our Savior's birth. But let's take that time to prayerfully prepare our hearts to go into that. So that we don't get lost in the hustle and bustle, but we really think about the beginning, the birth, and all the beautiful things that are to come. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship. When Herod the king heard this, he had troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he inquired them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet." Thus it was written by the prophet. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Micah 5:2. Present there. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called these wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." The beautiful moment when the word is spreading around it. He's here. He's here. He's been born. And the Lord God giving this star to lead them to the King of Kings. And this little baby, they fall down and worship. They fall down and worship. Before that, we know now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, this is chapter 1. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, prophecy fulfilled. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was determined to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." And we'll do a deeper dive there next week. But thinking of the whole journey from the beginning and God's tender heart to be with his people. And throughout the Old Testament, we see it's the struggle and wrestle that's still present today of obedience and disobedience. Obedience and disobedience. But you know who's never changed in the midst of that? The Lord God Almighty. His desired fellowship with his creation. His desired fellowship with his creation. But his creation's done, no. Because the sin nature, the fall, the five I wills of Isaiah 14 push. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. I won't surrender. I won't surrender. Yet we know God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As Christmas approaches, I challenge us as a body. Get excited. Because when you think of the Savior's birth going through, and there's so many different stories you can go through, but I challenge you in this week, because it's a blessing to focus on the gospel stories of the birth, but I challenge you, go through the Old Testament this week and look at all the things that paved the way for King Jesus. Because you start to then be reminded where we started in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Boy, is he an author of perfection and how he orchestrated every detail for Mashiach to come. Every single detail. While the struggle of obedience and disobedience is one that is timeless, is one that never changed, we have to remember the heart of our Lord. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, every single one, should come to repentance. If Jesus is the reason for this season, as Christmas approaches, as we have this last week leading into this time where we celebrate and have so much joyous times together, I give you three things to approach yourself. Approach his word more. Approach his word more. Look at, like I said, the Old Testament, journey through and dig into the Gospels and approach worship more. What are the songs you're singing? And there's so many beautiful songs and old Christmas songs that point to the King, but I challenge you, Jingle Bells is a great one, yay Jingle Bells, but maybe try a different one. Go to the ones that really have you thinking about the nature of our King, his coming, the gift of salvation. Get your playlist ready if you have family coming. It's an opportunity. These wonderful apps, Spotify, all these things, get on them and get your playlist ready of songs that talk about Jesus, that talk about the birth. Get married, did you know, on that playlist, try to time it. You can set the timing up once dinner's going and people are a little more quiet and it's like, oh, let's let this song finish playing. Just let it play. And then talk about it. And as we're preparing for that, dig into the songs and sing the songs that remind you of who our King is. And as Christmas approaches, brothers and sisters, we need to be approaching prayer more. Because if I asked right now, do you have anybody in your family who doesn't know the Lord that you wish they'd come to know the Lord? We'd all have someone, at least one person. And I ask us, how much are we tarrying? This is a question I pondered in preparation for this, that really tore me up to say, wow, I am definitely not tarrying in prayer enough for my unsaved family members. And this is an opportunity to do that and an opportunity to point them towards that as we realize Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. So what do we do with that knowledge as children of God? Well, we start with Matthew 28 and we remind ourselves, his birth comes. He lives this life that we all have example through. He's crucified, as we've seen. He's resurrected. And then he gives a charge. He gives a calling to those before him. And it's applied to all of us. And Jesus came, it's Matthew 28, verse 18, and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. As we think about the birth of our Savior, that little babe has all authority on heaven and earth given to him from God the Father. And with that, he says, go, therefore. Go and do what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To go and to make disciples, guess what? You can't make something that you're not. You can't. If you don't know the ins and outs of something, how can you help to see that be made? So it starts with us being his disciples, being in the Word, being immersed in him. All nations. Think of the culture that we're in right now. We've got so many people hurting, confused, worried. We still have the repercussion, ripple effects of the divisiveness from people over families and how the election turned out and all of these things. Yet we see it's all nations. It's everybody. Jesus brings everyone together. As Christmas approaches, realize you know and have in the Word of God and in Jesus as your Savior, author and finisher, the way, the truth, and the life, the only answer for anybody looking for hope. Jesus. This time of year, as we celebrate the birth of a babe in a manger, can I explain to you what that really means? You know, over this last year, you've really been struggling with dot, 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 or I noticed you really are just wrecked over this. Have you thought about Jesus' birth and what that means and what that brings in? Hope from a baby, King of Kings, foretold and comes. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. It means you got to know what he's commanded. You got to be in the word. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He's with us always to empower us, to build us, to do the things that he calls us to do. So as Christmas approaches, witness. Use this week to witness. All of us are going to be somewhere where you got to go get something. And if you get to be the person who the ingredients missing from the dinner, we need mustard. I'll go get the mustard. There's going to be people in the store. Share. Tell them what the season's really about. Tell them what the season's really about. Do you know who has all authority on heaven and earth? The babe that was born in the manger. Can I tell you about my Jesus? Can I tell you about my Jesus? And then as Christmas approaches, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I encourage us to also see how we pray for one another. How we pray for our brothers and sisters at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. And if I could impose a prayer, that as we think of the Savior's birth, that we pray for one another, I'd have us look at Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Give thanks for one another. Pray for one another, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, which is going to come through the word of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. As Christmas approaches, for us as the bride of Christ to realize the babe born in the manger is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and he is the head of the church. All things has been under him. So then let us seek and lean in on his power, his strength, his dominion, his might, and let's pray for one another to grow abundantly. Not the prosperity abundant, but the gospel abundant in knowledge of Jesus, in understanding, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that for this body. As we remember, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of a Savior, let's pray that for the body. Because if you think about it, we in our household talk about Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and we do a birthday cake, and it's Jesus' birthday party, and that's when we do all the decorations, and it's a big party for Jesus. But in that, there's gifts, and I'm not saying knocking gifts. I want to be clear before you think I'm a Grinch. But what I'm saying is, what if one of the gifts is praying for the body in a way you've never prayed before? You know, these 7 days leading up to Christmas, I'm going to pray these verses like I never have for Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a gift. That's a real gift. Give eternal gifts. Give eternal gifts. Give eternal gifts. And in that, I also challenge us to think of how we speak to one another. And what I mean there, and men, you'll remember this from Jude, verse 1 and 2. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, and we could spend the whole night on just the fact he's his half-brother. Jesus' half-brother. How does he identify? Bondservant. As Christmas approaches, when you think of what the birth of Jesus means, give him the gift of identifying as his bondservant. I'm going to just be, my identity is bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother. Then to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, realizing we're called in our calling by the Lord God Almighty, we are sanctified and set apart, and we're preserved in Jesus Christ, the reason for this season. As Christmas approaches, remember John 17 and his prayer. Keep them from the evil one. We're preserved through Christ. And in that, notice how he and what he says to these other believers. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And the other ones, we see it, you know, may grace and peace be added unto you. I love this where it's multiplied, because it's may mercy, peace, and love be in you, and then may it multiply. That's being used through the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. And so I also challenge us, what if as Christmas approaches, we think, and as we greet one another, it's not just, hey, how are you? You're leaving. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. I have one of the brothers in the body, that's how we actually will text each other, mercy, peace, and love. And it's a beautiful thing. Mercy, peace, and love. What is it to put those things forth? Because when we realize the birth of Jesus is the way we have access to all of that. It's through his birth. So what is it to reframe and shift some things of how we approach the 24th, the 25th? In a way that really puts him at the center. In a way that says, I'm not going to let how culture says to do it, how Christian culture says to do it, how anything says to do it. I just want to make it all about Jesus. I want to make it all about Jesus. And for this church, I remind us of a certain verse that was laid in the founding of this church, and it's a verse that for myself, for my bride, was also so important to us, and I think will always be an important scripture for Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. Matthew 5, 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine the light of Jesus. Shine the light of Jesus. That's what we do at Christmas. Encouragement is to think again from the beginning. And when you again go through the Old Testament and see, you know, people want to say, the God of the Old Testament is so evil. No, he's so gracious and merciful. My goodness. I don't know about you, but Judges, every time we go through it, it's like, ugh. They did what they wanted in their own eyes. And he's still gracious and merciful. And guess what? He hasn't stopped. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet through Jesus, through this birth, we know the way, the truth, and the life. And through that, brothers and sisters, let your light shine. You can think of the brightest, you know, Christmas lights there are. May that be you in Jesus this week. Pick your favorite song about Jesus. Wherever you go, sing it. Who's going to be on the news first? No, I'm kidding. But truly, let your light shine. Let your light shine. And when you think of letting your light shine, being a witness, when you think of praying for his bride and mercy, peace, and love, ask the Lord through the Spirit, Lord, if there's anyone in the body you want me to reach out to this week, help me to do that. Because the holidays are a joyous time, and this is a joyous time to think of our Savior's birth. But guess what? The enemy also has a field day, because some people have hurt around this time of year. For some, it's the first time they're doing this time of the year without a husband, without a wife, without a loved one. For some, they have loss that took place at this time of year. For some, they have bad memories from mom or dad or whatever. But if we walk in the Spirit and if we're praying without ceasing, may the Spirit of God bring to remembrance each other that we shine our light in the world and we shine our light within here to honor our King. To honor our King. The charge is simple. How will this Christmas magnify and glorify Christ? What are you going to do this Christmas to magnify and glorify Christ? And I think when we think about that, it might have us move away from some of the things we normally think of and think of how we live, how we pray, how we worship, how we pursue Jesus. Because what a gift we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your humble obedience, coming in the form of man as a bondservant, humbly and obediently going to the cross, born to die, that we can have salvation, communion with God the Father. Lord, we ask, as for many of us, the week ahead can get quite busy. You help us to keep our hearts fixed on you, Jesus. Lord, you help us to remember the words that you gave the disciples, love one another as I have loved you, because through the love we have as the bride of Christ, that is a witness unto the world. Lord, help us to shine forth your light. Lord, may we shine the lights of our hearts for Jesus to point others to you this season, Lord. But Father, it's the joy and love that we have for our King that would have them say, how are you so just beaming, Jesus? Lord, what a gift we have in our King. Thank you. To think of God creating the heavens and the earth, and that, Lord, you give us fellowship and communion with you, and that we will be with you forever through the birth of your Son. It is a gift. Lord, may we not forget the best gift of this season. May we not forget the purpose of this season. And may we magnify and glorify our King. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a beautiful evening.